Bob Nibiru, Planet X. Many names this thing has, but I do remember in 1983 reading in a high school, the science teacher had passed out a magazine, just a simple paperback thing, and we'd get one every week. And this week I got one that day in seventh grade, and it said that a Russian satellite had somehow went out of orbit or something, and it discovered what they called Planet X. And I remember reading an article about that, and it said Planet X was discovered. So now it's all denied, and they say, well, we call any planet we don't have a name for yet Planet X. So what do you say to that, and what have you learned about this?
Okay, well, what happened about... Well, first off, I had heard intermittently information about that myself, in terms of the possibility of that. Back several times, 1992, 1994, around that period of time, when I was actually again doing a variety of investigations, and several of them at the high government level. And I put it on the back shelf. I had so many things I was doing at that time, and these were all really heavy duty drug smuggling, murder, assassinations, all these types of inquiries. And I was getting two things. I was getting information about Planet X, called Nibiru, or the dragon, the tail of the dragon, the red dragon, the visiting planet. They all had this whole variety of names on this thing. And it had been rumored, so to speak, like, oh, it was out there, and some people believed it, some people didn't, et cetera, et cetera. And it was this extraordinary story about this planet that goes way out in outer space and then comes back. And I had never chased it. I never pursued it. And there was a reason for it. I was doing very highly, very, very high level inquiries for very important, sophisticated investigations. And the last thing I needed was to get involved with something that was goofy. I didn't need to go and, chasing some outrageous kind of a thing. What is this Planet X? What is that supposed to mean? And all of that. I just wouldn't touch that with a 20-foot pole. Because I was doing all of these, I would say, rather sophisticated, serious inquiries, and I didn't want to link my name to something like that, something that couldn't be proven. There was just sort of a story kind of a thing out there, a legend, if you will. So I just stayed away from it. However, come about. And it's interesting that you talked about that 1983 date, because that's important. But come about 4 years ago, I had realized that the gold in Fort Knox is gone. There is no gold. That's gone. Period. End of story. If anybody thinks that there may be some in there. But if you believe that the gold that's supposed to be there is in Fort Knox, you're really naive and uninformed. The gold has been removed from Fort Knox. And of course you have people like Senator Ron Paul, and then of course his son behind him, Rand Paul. Those guys have all came forward a couple of years ago and asked for an audit. An audit of the gold. Where is the gold? How much is there? Is it still there? And the bottom line was they laughed at them. The Federal Reserve is set up in a manner such that nobody can just go in and do an audit on the gold. So they just laughed at them. Now, to come along behind that, we had several countries have placed tons of gold bullion in deposit in our Fort Knox depository. Tons of it. That's Germany, Italy, France, all of these different nations all have huge varieties of amounts of gold. Germany is somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 tons of gold on deposit. In 2010, 2008, sometime around in there, a couple years back, they came forward, back when we had the financial crunch that hit everybody on the globe. They came forward, and the Germans wanted several tons of their gold. They were told they could not get it until 2020. They were told they could not get an audit until 2020.
See, now why can't they just say, oh hell no, you're going to open it, you're going to give us our, you know, what belongs to
us? Well, they would have to invade the United States, wouldn't they? You know, I mean, how would they do that? The bottom line is that the Federal Reserve, who is in charge of oversight on the gold, they just said, I'm sorry, that's the best we can do for you. You can't go in, and no, you can't have any, and we're not even going to do an audit. It's too complex at this point in time. Get back to us in 2020. Okay. So now ahead. So that was like, you know, I couldn't believe that. I'm like you. You know, I'm saying, what in the world? How can they do that? Okay. Well, they can do it because they're the ones that had the key to the vault. End of story, right? They got the combinations. All right. So end of the story in terms of the gold. The gold is gone. We have to understand it. If you think anything different than that, you're a sucker or you're a fool. All right. So the gold is gone. And I thought, well, that's pretty amazing, because if you stole the gold, which is what has taken place, what would you do with that? What would you do with it? So yeah. Then, lo and behold, the day before, and by the way, everything I'm telling you now, anybody that doesn't know about any of this, you know, just go up on your computer and you can find it. A fellow named Donald Rumsfeld, Donald Rumsfeld, in charge of the Defense Department, came forward the day before the 9/11 attack in New York and at the Pentagon. The day before that event, he came forward on the floor of the United States Congress, doing one of those wonderful inquiries I was talking about. He told the Congress that the Defense Department had lost $2.3 trillion in their budget. They don't know where it went. They just were lost. They had gone. He came home and $2.3 trillion was gone. He said it was over a period of a couple of years, actually said about 10 years, and $2.3 trillion is unaccounted for, it vanished. Now, since that announcement was done the day before Twin Towers, we never heard about it again. End of story. $2.3 trillion just evaporated before our eyes. Okay. Then they had that phony Twin Towers accident, terrorist accident that took place. Totally a false flag. I'm not even going to get into that, but forget that. That was carried out by bad guys in the American government, carried that one out. So now, a short time later, after the Rumsfeld thing, actually a year or so after that, they're doing an inquiry again on the floor of the Congress and the Senate with a lady who's in charge of the international banking for the Federal Reserve. And she said, one of the congressmen said that he had understood that they had lost about $9 trillion, that they did not know where it had gone off of the books of the Federal Reserve System, the banking system for international banking assistance, and that they were unable to find $9 trillion. Okay, so we have all the gold gone. We have $2.3 trillion that the Defense Department admits vanished. We have $9 trillion that lady who was sitting before the Congress, her answer to that was, which is the regular answer, and she says, I do not know. We'll have to look into it. I will get back to you on that one. So she's going to get back to us on $9 trillion, and as far as I know, it's been 3 or 4 years, and she hasn't gotten back to anybody yet. All right. So I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking, because I have to, you have to realize from doing things that I've done in the past, I'm used to seeing multi-millions in criminal activity all over Washington. They get away with it all the time. They steal it. They misappropriate funds. They do diversion. They alter the books. And they do everything you could possibly dream of and get away with it. So, but I sat back and I thought, wait a minute now. Even if you just talked about Rumsfeld's $2.3 trillion, or you talked about the gold, or you talk about $9 trillion out of the banking reserve system that disappeared, you can't launder that kind of money. The mafia would not be able to even come close to laundering that kind of money. So where did it go? Where does that kind of money vanish? Well, so I start putting old things together, a different a variety of information that had crossed my desk for several different years, and I remembered that in 95, I guess it was, I had snuck down with a cohort of mine underground at a place called the Denver Airport, and I had seen firsthand and filmed and photographed firsthand some of the craziness going on with the underground facilities at the Denver Airport. It had just broken open. It just made officially turned open in 95. By the way, as we speak today, they are still building underground at that airport. So I had those pictures, and I put those together, and I dragged out also some old information. I had had so many guys that had come to me for over 10 years, actually, at different periods of time, and a guy would write me and drop me a letter, or send a letter with a VHS videotape he had, or a little cassette, where he says, I'm a trucker, a truck driver, and I'm delivering goods underground to secret underground facilities all over the United States, some of them with 800 miles of roads underground. I drive an 18-wheeler truck, and I pass other 18-wheelers in intersections under the ground in these facilities. Wow. So then, so at this, that point in time, again, now we're talking about, say, 4 years ago, three, 4 years ago, I said, oh, wait a minute. Okay, so we got trillions of dollars literally disappeared, just vanishing. We have underground facilities that are mind-boggling. Some of them are 20 stories down underground. Some of them have mag-levitated trains running underground. Some of them have interconnections between going from Tennessee to Texas, where you can go underground the entire distance. And so all of a sudden it dawned on me, that's where the money's gone. But why would it go? Why would they do that? So I checked into it. I found out we have like 103 underground facilities in a variety of sizes. So then I put together, what was that business about Planet X, 1983? What was that first little exposure? So I started looking into that. I found out that in 1983, apparently, was the year that President Ronald Reagan was briefed on the bottom line being that it appears that the Planet X, Nibiru, the unknown planet with the five moons, was in fact real, it did exist, and was probably on its way back in to come around the sun one more time. And it's on a 3,600-year orbit. So what took place, not only was it a Russian, let's say an accidental exposure of that 1983 that you were talking about, but at the same time, we had sent out a brand new some Roundup period at times, 80, whatever it was, but it was 83, one of our brand new satellites was sent out with a giant infrared telescope, the first one they had use of. They sent it out, and it had returned pictures in 1983 of the Planet X, or Nibiru, way out in outer space, headed back in. So what had taken place was, around 83, they started what they call continuity of government. And as a matter of fact, coincidentally, that was brought up on the floor of the Iran-Contra investigations the same week that my business was talked about on the floor of the Congress. And at that same, very same period of time, was when this continuity of government was discussed, when they came and they asked a fellow named Ollie North, the colonel that was involved with all of that Iran-Contra smuggling and all, and they asked him what was a thing called Ready Emergency Exercise, Rex 84, what was that about? Because it was understood that it was the suspension of the Constitution and the creation of a variety of secret underground facilities. And what was it? This was something that the United States Congress didn't know anything about. Okay? So, I'm putting it all together. Then I started looking more into, so that I would educate myself on this Planet X, what it was about. I found that we had one fellow that had discovered and had deciphered, he didn't go over all of them, but there was 20,000 clay tablets that had been discovered several years back, and they described the Planet X and the Anunnaki and all of that business, which, of course, this fellow's name was Dr. Sitchin, and he had actually gone over thousands of these tablets and deciphered them, and had come out with the shocking stories that had been written so many years back in Sumeria, that in fact the Planet X did exist. It had come around, and in fact that was what had generated the floods that we know about as Noah's floods 3,600 years ago, and that it is in a returning orbit of 3,600 years. So Sitchin, of course, he came out with several books, wrote about it. Half of his people believed him. Half of his people thought he was a fruitcake and nutcase because nobody knew about it. No astronomers couldn't verify it, et cetera, et cetera. But when I looked into it, I found out that what he was talking about is verified in the Bible. It's verified that Tibetan monks up in the top of the mountainside. It's verified by Chinese astronomers thousands of years ago, written in their own text, and a whole multitude of foreign cultures that completely verified the same thing, and that is that there is a large planet. It's five times the size of Earth. It has five moons that travels with it. It's like its own little small solar system. It does not give off any heat, or it does not give any light off, so that's why it has not seen, unless you utilize these high-powered infrared telescopes. So I continued my investigating. I found out that, first off, I got videotapes and stills and all inside these underground facilities. I was able to secure that. I found out that they not only building 103 of those, finishing them actually at this time, but they were supplying them for the last 10-15 years with survival foods, with billions of dollars worth of survival foods. They're buying military weapons and equipment, billions of dollars of it, to be utilized as riot control for when the general public actually finds out about this thing, which obviously will never be announced. It cannot be announced. There's no way you could ever do it. Even if you were a good guy, a good president, an honest president, you couldn't do it because the entire world would go nuts on the premise of the idea that this thing may come back, because the reactions, what will take place to Earth when it passes close by, will be phenomenal. I continued my inquiry. I found out a guy named Robert Harrington, who was the head of the Washington, D.C. Naval Observatory, finally found it also, notified Dr. Sitchin, sat down with him, and said, I found it. It took me. I've been looking for this thing for 15 years. I agree with you. I think you're absolutely right, and this thing will be coming back. You know, and exactly when is hard to tell, but he verified it. Being the director, he was in the process of writing a complete report on this, and he died of a strange cancer, a very fast acting cancer.
Now, let me ask this really quick. How do, because I've heard a lot about Harrington, and now I have to ask, because people are going to want me to. How do we know for sure that that's what he was working on, or that that's what he found?
Because it's on a videotape. I have that. As a matter of fact, you can find it. Persons can find it on YouTube, I believe. If you'll look up Robert Harrington, let's see, just if you put Robert Harrington, Discovery of Planet X or Nibiru, you will find that he has a meeting when he met with Dr. Sitchin, a sit-down meeting in his office at the observatory in Washington, D.C. I believe it was in 1963. It was videotaped, so the entire meeting is videotaped. End of story. Okay, so now I continued my investigating. I was looking as far into this as I could. I then found out, let's see, not only is it actually on record in the Chinese, Chinese records, and all of these other ancient antiquity records of all sorts of back during the times of just a few years BC, even that there are reports on this thing. We have to remember, like in the case of the Chinese astronomers back in those days that worked under the emperor, if they even did a mistake, he cut their heads off. You know, I mean, that literally was the way they ran that in the ancient Chinese astronomy. If a guy did something wrong, they just cut his head off and threw him in the garbage. So these guys weren't making this stuff up. The Sumerians, they weren't writing on clay tablets and saying, let's write this crazy thing down. This is going to really freak people out. You know, these guys weren't hoaxers, for crying out loud. They're writing serious events that took place, and took place in their face. So I started realizing, okay, the United States has really gotten scared. This is serious stuff. 103 underground facilities that I know of. The Russians came out in 2010. Now, again, see, these dates are important. 2010, the Russians came out and they said, we're going to build 5,000 survival tunnels, underground tunnel. There's going to be 5,000 of them. They said, we're going to have them done by at the beginning of 2013. And they did it. They have most of them finished. In China, when I looked up their thing, find out what they were doing, if anything. See, because these are coordinated efforts with the highest levels of all the major nations of the world. They're all scared to death of something. They're not going to save the general public. It's an impossibility. But they're going to do continuity of government for the wealthiest elite and the governmental heads of these different nations. They're the ones who are going to be down underground. The rest of us are going to be trying to exist and live above ground, which is going to be very hard when you find out all of the potential effects of this planet coming back close to Earth.
See, now, I'm right, curious, so, I'm curious really quick, though. Now, if they are aware that this is going to happen, then why aren't they doing something about these nuclear power plants? Because that would be my biggest fear, is having to survive any amount of time with all these nuclear power plants going down.
Well, that certainly is an important part of the problem. But the bottom line is, now you asked that question. Now, let me turn that around. Let me ask you. You're the president of the United States. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about 130 nuclear power plants that we have in the United States? You're going to tell everybody, oh, listen, temporarily we're going to shut all of this stuff down because there's something that we're not going to tell you about coming, but I'm going to shut it down. Okay, so the bottom line is they can't do anything about it. They can't do anything about it. All right? So whatever happens when those things are disconnected and discombobulated and they start overheating, you got to hope, you got to hope and pray that no more than half of them become like the Chernobyl, right?
Right.
Everybody knows that was the Russian one, all right? The problem with that, okay? That may turn that into a dead zone for 100 years. Okay, so that is one point. I'm glad you brought that up, but that's all it is. It's only one point, because I'm going to get into the rest of the problems that we have with this Nibiru when it comes back. Now, I looked into China. I said, okay, I know Russia's doing it. I know. And by the way, what we also did a couple of years ago, we created an underground, what they call a food vault, a seed vault. It actually is a vault that contains underground into the mountainside. It's up in, I think it's in Denmark. It is a container holding seeds of every growing plant on Earth, so they can be replanted 50 or 100 years from now to try to start Earth back up again. And that's an international seed vault. Again, something you can simply look up and you can see it and find it on your computer.
I know that's true. I've seen it. I've seen the pictures. I've seen all the information.
That's right. That's right. Okay. End of story. Why were they doing that? Okay. So China, when I looked into their situation, I found out a few years ago, they did an extensive report on relative to Earth movements, if the surface and the crust of the Earth moved due to a celestial external effect of gravitational forces, what would take place in the high and the low zones around China. They did this major report. After that report, they started diligently rejuvenating underground facilities for themselves. They have so many, there are thousands of underground facilities in China. Now, they had a head start because they had a couple of thousand of them going back to the days of antiquity in China, where entire wars and towns and villages, wars were fought from inside the tunnels, and towns and villages were actually maintained inside thousands of tunnels in the earth in China. They're rejuvenating all of those, as many as they can, and they're doing it also in conjunction with something that's called ghost cities. Have you heard anything about ghost cities?
I absolutely have.
Okay. And by the way, I have films and documentation on all this stuff I'm talking about. Ghost cities, at this time, there's about 15 of them. These are entire cities, the equivalent of New York City or Paris, France, built in the last 10 years. They are completely empty. They are finished, done, totally. In other words, it's like if you built New York City, replicated it in Denver, or in the middle of the desert, Sahara Desert, or in one of our own deserts right here, you went out in the desert and built and created New York City and Paris, France, completely, and then kept them empty. That's what they're doing. Each one of these cities can hold 10, 15 million people. They are empty, and they are being kept empty, and they are also still working on them today as we speak. All right, I have, again, pictures and videos and all on that, too. Those are all included in my DVD. Now, they have tunnels that inside the tunnels, they actually have 3,000 nuclear weapons hidden away. Have no idea where that fits in, to be honest. They have ships and planes and warplanes inside the ground, inside these tunnels, hidden away. All right? That's China's operations. So, I continued looking. Now I'm convinced. I said, okay, this thing's out there, and I wanted to know more about it. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. This planet, this giant planet coming in, obviously because when it got close, it would have unbelievable effects. Are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm still here. I thought they were about to cut you off, buddy.
Oh, okay. No, well, that's always possible. I don't know what that is, but that may be on my end. Okay, so I'm still looking. I'm trying to expand my handle on this thing, understand this thing, and I started looking and checking with astronomers. You have to realize something. Everybody has to get a handle on this too. NASA is a lying bunch of bums. All right, NASA does what they are told to do. You know, for some reason, we got this psychological concept that the government might lie to us, and this senator might, and Congress might, and these guys will do all this backstabbing and do all this stuff on us, and they'll never tell us the truth. And we understand that. We almost accept that now. That's a shame. But we have this psychological background idea that NASA, now, ha, see, those NASA, they're just a bunch of dumb scientists, and they'll tell us, boy, if they see something out there or they know something's going on, they're going to tell us. No, they're not. They're not going to tell you. They've been specifically told not to tell anybody about this. And it's on the basis, again, we got to get back to logic. You cannot tell the public that something like this is going to happen. And particularly, you can't say, hey, I'm going to give you an approximate date. Can't do that. It would be, we never even seen a riot like you would have across the entire globe.
See, now,
when this thing finally.
Now that, right? That makes total sense. I mean, I've thought about that. If I was president, how do you just come out and tell 7 billion people you're going to die? But
that's not going to happen.
At the same time.
As a matter of fact, it's just never going to happen. All right? So, and I'll explain to you what's going to happen, but that's not going to happen. So I started looking and I snooped, and again, I've developed some very, very high level points. People, a good friend of mine for many years used to write the speeches for Ronald Reagan and Bill Casey for the head of the CIA during Reagan's time. She was with Bill Casey for years and years. So anyhow, that's just one person that I could rely on for some of these questions. But when it comes to looking into the planets, I discovered that all of the planets, starting out with Pluto and coming back in, they're heating up. They're changing in their chemistry, and they're wiggling in their orbits. This funny activity going on. Some of them actually are even having complete movement on the face of the planets, etc. So the planets are now being affected. Now, we go number two. What else is happening? The sun is going crazy with a lot of extraordinary activity. It's being affected by Nibiru already at this point in time. Volcanoes are being, and earthquakes are increasing and are being cultivated already by Nibiru coming back in. As of yesterday, and I think this will probably surprise you, maybe it won't. As of yesterday, there was 34 to 37 volcanoes erupting on the earth. Not just grumbling and mumbling. 35 as of yesterday were erupting on the face of the globe. There are 27 to 35 other volcanoes that are on the watch list that they may start erupting. All right? That's today. Yellowstone Park, a month or two back, generated so much extraordinary heat that the roadway leading into some of the central parts of the park had to be blocked off because the roads turned into pea soup and they melted.
Yeah, right. It's my understanding that Russia is, someone made a good point in the chat room, so I thought I'd bring it up, that Russia is actually, it's been said they have enough underground facilities for, I guess, all their people.
They're claiming, whatever. Now, I have to explain something with the Russian deal. They're set up for moderate, medium-sized amounts of people. But they have a lot of them, and they're almost like bomb shelters. So those are, now they have bigger ones that are going to be for the wealthy elite upper crust of Russia, and those are like the big fancy ones we have that can hold several thousand and keep them for a long period of time. And by the way, we even have some underground facilities that are totally just set up for growing food underground. Underground synthetic growth situations, and they are also, as I mentioned earlier, interconnected with the train cars and highways and all the rest of that. It's mind-boggling. It's way past what everybody would ever believe. You wouldn't want to believe it, but when you see it, you see it. You know, end of story. Yeah. Now, what else do we have? So we have volcanoes, we have earthquakes, all of that stuff happening. We have the planets heating up. We have, how about in 2010 and 11, 12, 13, up around in there, how about all the dead animals and fish and birds? We had, like a million birds fall dead out of the sky.
Not just once either.
Excuse me?
I say not just one time either.
No, that's right. So we're talking all kinds of animals, fish, multi-millions and millions of them dead and all that. Okay. So they also changed all of the space operations. They were all changed instantly. Things they were planning to do, and then all of a sudden we're not going to do it anymore, et cetera, et cetera. Because they got so scared, so frightened about the reality of within a few years of this planet coming back and the havoc it will wreak on the earth when it comes by, is unbelievable. Now, it scared the big shots, okay? They just shut down. They're not even stealing for themselves anymore now. I mean, they're stealing considerably less because their whole frame of mind has been changed. The ones that know about it, but don't fool yourself. And for you congressmen and senators out there, don't fool yourself. If you're not up to speed on this thing, you may not be on the list. You know, and your tail is going to be up here with the rest of us trying to figure out what we're going to do. Now, what will happen? What will happen when this thing comes by? One thing is, it's so large, and it's apparently a solid mass, and this is the best it's been analyzed. And again, you have to remember, and this is important, this is what caused Noah's flood when it came by. There are biblical reports of one soldier, one group of soldiers, were 187,000 of them were killed in one afternoon from the flaming rain that came down from the heavens. All right, now what will happen? This will come in, if it happens, it will come in and it will pass and cause a solar eclipse. It's very large, again, five times the size of Earth. It will black out the sun for about 3 hours and will not be, we're not talking when it goes between us and the sun. It's not talking about a 15-minute eclipse. We're talking about 3 hours the first time around. Probably the same thing the second time when it goes back out. It will come in, go around the sun, just like a meteor or a comet does. Now, I want everybody to remember now, we have Halley's Comet. It comes around every 75 years. We know that. We know how long it is. We know how big it is. We know what it's going to do. It's kind of out there. And it's just a snowball, if you will, typical comet structure of dirt and frozen ice and frozen residue and what have you. But something to be concerned with is when it flies by, we look at that way up there out. It's in like up in the sky with the rest of the stars. When it goes by, it has a 24 million mile tail of junk coming behind it. And we see it, and it looks neat, you know, because you see this glowing thing in the front and this big, long, glowing, luminous line being dragged along behind it, and that's that tail that I'm talking about. But unless you get in and look it up, I never realized it's 24 million miles long. Holy mackerel, that's a lot of junk. And it comes around 75 years, goes around behind the sun, comes back out, shoots back out to outer space for another 75 years. Now, a lot of people, when you talk about Nibiru, they, you know, and it's a 3,600 year orbit. It's not 75, it's 3,000 years. And you could, you know, typically myself, before I knew too much about this, I instantly thought, well, that's ridiculous. Holy mackerel. And, you know, something goes out that far for 3,000 years, you know, that can't be real. All right. But a few years back, there was a thing called Hale-Bopp Comet that was discovered, I think, around in the 70s. And came by a few years later, and they, when it did the same thing, went, came up, went around, swung around behind the sun, went back out, and when they did the math on that, they said, oh, now this was newly discovered, it will not be back for 4,200 years. That's the Hale-Bopp Comet. You can look these up, remember that. Hale-Bopp Comet, 4,200 year orbit. So the idea that 3,600 year orbit for Nibiru being ridiculous, it's not, obviously.
Now,
all right.
Does Nibiru, does this have a brown dwarf star with it, or moons, or what's coming with it outside of just
it has. It physically has, according, now, by the way, I'm going to tell you, there has been one good picture that I know of well, actually, there's two, but there's one good one that I'm positive of being right, because it was a NASA screw-up, and they took the picture, with their new fancy equipment, and it accidentally got out. And of course, nowadays, when these things get out, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube with the computer programs now on a website. So once it was out, it's out there. And it is a telescopic picture taken by NASA, accidentally released to the public, grabbed up and replicated, and it's a real photo.
Where
the singular... I'm just saying the singular planet is Nibiru. It has five moons circling it, traveling with it. And when we, again, when we do the comparison with the Hale-Bopp and also with Halley's Comet of 24 million miles, I have no idea of what kind of length and depth of junk is going to be trailing behind a planet that's dragging stuff for 3,000 years and gathering more as it comes. And unfortunately, what we're looking at in terms of if this travels as has been mathematically laid out and does come by, what it will do, it will come around the sun. We are constant. We have a little tiny orbit that we, where we go around the sun. All right, and when we go around the sun, we will pass through that tail one time, and then we will make the completion of that orbit around. It will be ahead of us, so to speak, and it will go back out to its far, the far reaches of space, and we will pass through the tail at least a second time. Now, there, the mathematics of this is really rather complex, but it would be about 1 hour journey through the tail of this debris the first time, probably an hour through the second time going through that debris. This will be the most devastating meteor shower that you could ever imagine in science fiction. So that's going to be one of the big problems. The first problem probably will be the electromagnetic effects that will completely shut down all electricity on the globe. So, and this is from the equivalent, let's say, of solar flares, that type of a reaction. All right. So you would have all of the electricity of the globe shut down. You will have meteor showers that we will go through at least probably twice. Now, here's where I say at least twice, and the mathematics gets a little strange. We, the planets of our solar system, are called, they're on the elliptic plane, they call it, and it is somewhat of a flat plane. Most of the, all the orbits of all nine planets, I'm still saying nine, whether they like it or not, poor little Pluto, we don't want to cut him out.
Yeah.
So you got nine planets on somewhat of a flat plane. They're all circling in different amounts of time relative to their orbits around the sun. But the Nibiru, if it comes in on our flat plane or reasonably close to it, we will go through a real, very heavily laid tail of debris and junk twice. If it comes, or some people are arguing the fact that it's will be at about 30 degrees south, in other words, tipped 30 degrees off of the ecliptic plane, having it come in sort of on an angle, like a 30 degree angle coming in, passing through our plane and back out in its own plane. If that happens, that varies things like how long we pass through the tail of debris, how many times we do or don't pass through that debris, and all of those things. So that's the stuff that, when you come down to the bottom line, throws a little monkey wrench into trying to figure out the timing on this. Now, everybody's big question is when this might happen. All right. Now, the mathematics from several guys that have been studying this, that are astronomers and have been studying astronomy and science and all the rest of that, and the history. See, again, we have dates that we can go by to a certain extent. And I have to add, how much time do we have now, anyhow? Another hour?
Yeah, we have another hour, and we've got a break coming up in about 4 minutes.
Okay. Well, we'll We'll, all right, I'm going to do an introduction to another little part of this. We'll take a break, and then when we come back, I'll fill you in for the rest of the details what it looks like on this thing. But there was something that was discovered in 1999, and it's called the Sky Disk. And this was a piece of archaeological find that was created 3,600 years ago. It's been dated to the very day, and I will explain that when we come back from the break. But I'm going to explain to you what the Sky Disk does for us in terms of studying this thing. It's amazing, and it's very scary because it gives us apparently an exact date on the last time it passed around and when it might pass around again, along with the biblical writings of all of the Bibles for the most part of the earth, and the Chinese astronomical writings and all the rest of that. We get very close to an actual date on the return of this thing. Do we have to take a break? We're still going here.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take that break, and then we'll come back and pick back up. So everyone, my guest is Bob Fletcher. We're discussing Planet X. I'll tell you, there's a lot on both sides of the argument when it comes to it. There's so much that points towards it, and there's so many ways to just deny it. And, you know, I'm just looking for the smoking gun. I've seen some things, don't get me wrong. I believe there's something out there, but I'd like to know exactly where it is and how we can find it. Maybe we'll get to that. So, folks, this is Late Night in the Midlands. I'm Michael Vera, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Late Night in the Midlands. I'm Michael Vera. My guest, Bob Fletcher. We are discussing Nibiru, Planet X, if you will. And, folks, as you know, I've done so much research on this topic. Right from the first year I started this show 7 years ago, I've researched it, and... Bob, it seems like with Planet X, with me, there's days when you feel good about what you're finding, and then there's days where it just seems like it all leads to, you know, dead ends. I hate to say it. Not that it's dead ends to everybody, but that, you know, just to be able to say, here it is, that's it, you know, there's no denying it. And because people could always argue with the evidence, right?
Well, yeah, the big problem is, and again, I have to repeat myself from earlier. You know, first off, this is something that I wouldn't have gotten into at all. I just wouldn't have touched it. I didn't need it. I wouldn't have touched this with a 50-foot pole. You know, until I started looking at these extraordinary events. Again, the loss of all the money. The gold, the changes of government almost at a given point in time. You got to remember 1983 that we were talking about, that may have been the time when somebody finally, a little group of scientists finally came into the White House and said, we got bad news. It looks like this thing's real and it's coming back. And the potential is this and that, and the new infrared telescopes is showing it, and what are we going to do? We can't stop it. We can't change it. Previously, we've been able to read stories about this thing as a mythical kind of a deal, that maybe it was and maybe it wasn't. That's what you're talking about. Maybe it exists. Maybe it doesn't. Can you prove it? And it was always mythological almost. And there was big stories written many years ago in Look magazine and Life magazine and all these important papers at that time and the television, and they said that it looked like there was something out there, but that don't worry about it because it's 50 or 70 years away. Well, that 50 or 70 years that they talked about back then has now passed. Okay, so now it's closer to, and from galactic measurements, our backyard. So, and by the way, Now, and I touch base on a few before I finish what I was talking about, the sky disk thing. I started because trying to cover all bases before I even dared open my mouth, I wasn't going to put my name on something that was going to just really not have a lot of proof behind it. And I'd end up looking like a jerk after a very well-respected career here for the last 30 years.
I've been there, done that.
The bottom line, and like I say now, see, I'm in, this is terrible for Bob Fletcher, because if I'm wrong on what all this looks like and everything, if I turn out to be wrong, well, then I'm a jerk. You know, I'll be the fool of the year, and I can get some kind of an award or something like that for being the biggest jerk that rolled down the toilet. But if I'm right, there's not going to be anybody around to come and say, hey, good job, Bob. Boy, you were ahead of the loop on this one, like you had been on a couple other things. Boy, you were right on again, and this is really, congratulations, and in a couple of weeks we're going to get wiped out. So it's like really a negative thing for myself personally. I lose no matter whether I'm right or if I'm wrong, by the way, one thing I'm talking about being ahead of the loop, I was the one that first came out with, and matter of fact, on the floor of the United States Senate, in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee, on live C-SPAN television, I was the guy that first came out and said that we had secretly created methods by which we can alter the weather and use it as a weapon. And of course, that's one of those things also at that time. That was June of 1995 on the floor of the Senate in front of the Intelligence Committee. And I said that I was the first person to come out publicly. And of course, everybody went, oh, God, he's crazy. Get him out of here. He's a nutball. And of course, it didn't take long before it was admitted, well, yes, we did have it. And we were working it, and we did do it, and the Russians had it, and the Chinese have it, and they're all screwing around with it. Because, we actually signed a treaty in 1975 with the United Nations at that time that said that all the powers of the world will have to guarantee each other to not use the weapons of weather control that we now have, that we will not use it against each other in a warring manner. And that's a United Nations treaty.
Right.
And I happen to have that with me at the time and all the rest of that, but that's beside the point. All right, so I was ahead of the loop on that, and I was proven to be correct. Unfortunately, if I'm correct with this one, it'll be the worst thing to have happened to humanity in the history of the Earth. Okay, so not to talk about it being, a passing thing. There have been people killed that knew about this story, and I believe had been eliminated at high levels of our government before they were allowed to come out and talk much about it at all. As I mentioned, Dr. Harrington from the Naval Observatory in the 60s died of one of these cancers, like Ruby, the guy that killed Oswald with the Kennedy assassination. He died in 30 days with a fast-acting cancer. That was what happened with Dr. Robert Harrington when he was going to come and agreed with Dr. Sitchin that this was a reality. Now, I looked and I started wondering, I wonder, what's the religious connection to this? Because this kind of stuff, among the very highest level of government, has got to have drifted past the Vatican. So I did due diligence on that and investigated, and guess what I found out that I was not aware of? First off, that the Vatican, of course, has had for years their own observatory at the Vatican. And a few years ago, the Vatican got cooperation and financial approval and all that kind of stuff, not that they needed any money, but they built a huge observatory in Arizona. It's owned by the Vatican. It's in Arizona. And it's interesting because it was one of the first land-based infrared telescopes.
They're called Satan, don't they?
The world. Excuse me?
Isn't it called Satan or something like that?
Yeah. Interestingly enough, the name of that telescope, which can see Nibiru because it's infrared and powerful, it's called Lucifer.
Oh, Lucifer.
Right. It's called Lucifer. How about those apples, folks? So we got the Vatican has a huge infrared telescope. So they're involved. The Vatican is involved. They know about it. They know when it's going to be coming, as close as anybody else knows. They're obviously not going to say anything either. But they did come out also, you know, a while back and said that if aliens exist, that the Vatican understands that we would have to bring them into the family of humanity, and of course they would all be God's children. They made that a while back, and they actually made a couple of statements relative to that. And we have to remember this period of time, the 83 that we were talking about, and that's about the time when they were deciding to put this telescope in Arizona, owned by the Vatican. In that period of time was when Ronald Reagan made that famous speech on the floor of the United Nations, when he said that how he wondered if all the people of the world would come together if we had to all fight off an intergalactic, an interterrestrial kind of a problem, if it was to come upon us that was an alien of some sort. And he didn't necessarily mean alien people, although maybe he did, but he was talking about Nibiru and its relationship as being an intergalactic type of a problem that we may have to face. That was 83, that same period of time that we were talking about. Now, let me get back to this extraordinarily interesting thing called the sky disk.
Okay.
In 1999, there was a discovery that was made in Germany at an archaeological site. Now, there was in Germany 1,000 years before Christ, B.C., there was what actually was a star-gazing location built very much like the Stonehenge. It is a circular location where apparently during the Bronze Age, 3,000 years ago, they were watching the stars and they were keeping track of all the goings-on in the heavens and all of that. It's an extraordinary archaeological discovery. And at that site, they discovered, actually, they caught a couple of grave robbers, if you will, that were trying to sell this particular item that had been dug up at the location of this particular site in Germany. And it was given the name the Sky Disk. And this was a Bronze Age piece of bronze. It's like the equivalent of a shield, so to speak. It's about 14 inches, 12 and a half to 14 inches across. And it is a complete layout in bronze and highlighted in pure gold, well, or as pure as it could have been at that time, gold inlay. And it shows and describes the actual crossing of Nibiru, causing a solar eclipse in the morning and and also shows several other galactic structures and setups of the stars, where they were located and all of that. All of the locations of the stars had been put into a modern computer, and it was able to give an exact date to indicate that it was, in fact, 3,600 years old when it was created. And it's the equivalent of what I would call like a drawing, a sketch drawing, if you will, of the event that took place. And it was a three-hour eclipse of the sun by a giant physical body that they did not obviously know what it was. And it passed in front of the sun, between Earth and the sun. It blacked it out. Now, the reason with the brand new computerization now, if you take the locations of all the stars and the galaxies, the planets that are indicated on the plate, you take that and feed it into a computer program we have now, it will give you the exact date, exactly right, as a matter of fact, in this case, down to the fact that it was 8:30 in the morning when the event took place, and it was 3,600 years ago. And the metal of the object itself has been verified, and also it indicates, which is very interesting, it indicates one of the one of the structures that's indicated on the plate itself. Let me see if I look this up so I could be a little more accurate on this.
Okay, and I just put the link to your website in one of our chat rooms so people can go over and look at the photos.
You can go that way, and I've got all of this down, of course, in the DVD. All of this is completely down in there. But the point is that one of the structures on the plate would not have been seen normally from Germany. And in order for it to have been seen that afternoon when the sun was blacked out and the stars would appear, it meant that the Earth itself had been completely shifted about 26 degrees on the axis. All right? And so that meant that part of the effects of this gigantic planet passing through actually tilted the Earth on its axis by 26 degrees. And that's, again, verifiable with the modern computerization of the location of all of the stars in the sky. So there we have an extraordinary little piece that you add that to all of the written material of the Bibles and all the rest of that. It would appear that Nibiru may return. Well, let me back up on this. It appears that if it passes close by again soon, that it will first be seen in the sky as a new star. It will, of course, obviously at first appear just as one singular star moving. Okay, if you watch it night after night, you could see that it was coming closer, and it would get bigger over the next couple of months. It's anticipated it would be seen in December of the year that it returns. It will be seen in December. It is anticipated because of previous writings of when the originally came by and caused all of its havoc previously, that it was done in April and May, the time of religiously from the time of Passover. So the first of it would be seen as a star in December, and then you would have January, February, March, it would be getting bigger, and then April and May would be the period of time most likely that it would pass closest between the Earth and the sun. It would go around the sun and go back out the other side, completing its orbit, and head towards outer space. Now, the question is, the big question between people that agree that this probably is going to happen. There are a lot of little things. There's changes in calendars. You know, they've gone through 3,000 years of calendar adjustments. And also there's a difference between the Chinese calendar and the Roman calendar and the English calendar, et cetera, et cetera. So that makes a difference. The time period of 3,000 years, obviously there are a lot of variables to affect things that way. But the consensus turns out to be this. It will be seen in December and then pass close by April or May of whatever year it is that this is coming in. Many people believe that the most likely time would be this December or the next December. Less likely would be another year or two away. So the concern is of people that have been studying this besides myself, and I'm actually studying many other people's work on this. The opinion is that it may be seen this December. If it is not seen this December as a new star headed inward, December, January, February, then we have probably another year to bite our fingernails, because the belief is it'd be between the April and May of 2015 or April and May 2016. And that's the next, within the next 3 years is what we're talking. Now, as far as the ramifications of this thing, again, you know, you're looking at the, loss of, potentially loss of all power. You know, if we lose, even if there's a solar activity, if we have one solar flare big enough to punch through one of the very large holes that we now have in our protective magnetosphere, which usually keeps all that stuff out from Earth, if we have one good solar flare that punches its way through, it shuts down the power because of this thing, then the power is all going to be off, and it'll be off for, even if that was the only thing that happened, the power could be off for 5 years, 10 years. All right. The other things, of course, is the worst of it's going to be the meteor showers, which would be unbelievable. And then the thing that I haven't spoken about at all yet, which would be actually starting pretty early in the transition of this thing, would be the dragging the oceans like Noah's floods, dragging the oceans right out of the seabeds. You have to remember, the moon is what drags our tides, drags the oceans in and out 10, 15, 30 feet every day, in and out as the tides go. That's gravitation of the moon. And, of course, the sun's gravity also. But if you can imagine something with the power of 1,000 beyond that, it literally will drag the oceans out of the seabeds and wash over every single coastline. We have 140 million people that live on the coastline around the globe that will probably be drowned in 30 minutes of the passing of this thing. So it's really serious stuff. I have no way other than to supply the information that I do have and the potentials. See, now we always get back. I have to go back and say, if somebody can come up with a good reason of where the gold is gone, why we have built 103 underground facilities, why we have gates for the last couple of years that have become imperative on when the dried foods were delivered to these underground locations, why we are spending money for riot control supplying the police forces with military armament of all sorts, and why we're spending millions, actually billions of dollars on weapons and bullets and machine guns for all of the bureaucratic offices around the United States. If somebody can give us a good reason for all of those things, then you may have a good argument. But the problem with this is that worldwide, the leaders of every major nation in the world are scared to death of an event that is on its way in. And it appears the only logical answer to that is the planet Nibiru, Planet X, that has been talked about for decades and decades.
Yeah. Yeah. So now I'm looking on your website here, and I'm looking at some of the pictures. And, well, you know,
it's all very limited, but go ahead.
Yeah. Now, I'm looking at some of the pictures, and I'd have to ask. Now, this is what my problem has been in finding pictures and finding real videos. My problem has been is that I could never prove that somebody didn't doctor the picture.
Well, that's a no. There's no question about that. But there's no question about that. Unfortunately, at this point in time, people can put together phony pictures.
But
that's
now,
for sure.
But now those underground bases. Now that's another story.
Yeah. See, here's the point. You can always just say, well, and I got to be honest with you. The only good pictures that I really feel that we have at this point in time is that the one picture, and I have that on my website, is where it shows the five moons around the red centerpiece. All right, that picture is the one that was originally put out accidentally by NASA. And then, of course, boom, that disappeared as quick as it could, but it was too late because it was out there. The other problem was, in fact, that there is a picture. Actually, there's a photograph that Marshall, I can't think of his name. Anyhow, the gentleman's been doing it for a longer time than I have in terms of studying some of this stuff. He had contracted, apparently, with a telescope and has been taking progressive shots aimed out at where we are pretty sure it is located. And it is getting bigger and closer. And that's been actually this fellow used to work for CNN, and he got off a couple years ago and started getting into this when he found out things that he wasn't supposed to find out about at CNN. But the other good picture that is really was a shocking event. Originally, NASA had a setup with one of the new infrared telescopes that was floating out there, intentionally put out to find Nibiru, and it located it, and there was up on the program that you can go up and see the outer space, but you can also look up your neighbor's backyard and all the rest of that. That actually had a great picture for a few days, and it also gave the latitude and longitude in space where people could go out and you know, you could dial it up yourself and look at it. And what they did when a couple of people saw it, and they said, that's Nibiru, it fits everything on Nibiru, and people started copying it onto the YouTube, this NASA went out and they blocked off on the space program, their own Google Space, on the Google Space program, they blocked off a section in outer space. It's just it's a big black square now. So yeah, if you go and try to look it up, all you see is like somebody's holding a postcard up in front of your telescope or something. So why would they do that if they just didn't want people to see that and know exactly where it's located? It's like really goofy. The bottom line is, here's what happens. If you just say, okay, we don't have any good pictures yet, it's not in close enough yet, we can't, unless you have an extraordinary telescope with infrared and it's floating a few thousand miles out in space. Now, if you've got that, well, then go ahead and get your pictures. But if we had just said, all right, Bob, there are no good pictures as of today, then I would say, okay, that's fine. I agree. Let's just put that aside. All right? Now, explain all the rest of what I've gone over this evening. See? You can't do it. You can't tell me where the money and the gold went. You can't tell me why they built 103 of these underground facilities. Why did Russia build 5,000 of them? Why is Red China moving all of their airplanes, missiles, rockets, and everything you can imagine underground? They have 3,000 rockets and underground in tunnels being saved away. Why are they doing that? And if you go through all the rest, why did they do the seed vault? Why did they do a seed vault and particularly save all the seeds of the world so that we can replant the earth? Why did they do that? Why did they stop stealing everything and putting it in underground instead of in their pockets? You know, and if you can answer that, hey, that's good. And I will be very happy, because it would be nothing better than for myself to be wrong on what I'm doing. In other words, just to be in error on 5,000 different things that's going on, and looking at them all incorrectly. What's happening.
You can also ask why so many underground facilities, and we're not talking about just shelters here. We're talking about the literal, like, cities below ground.
Oh, yeah. No. They're gigantic. And I have, I have to repeat this now. My DVD that explains all of this took me 3 years to put this thing together. It's extraordinarily in total, and it covers everything, starting way back when and coming up to last month. Okay? It's 4 hours long. It's two DVDs. It explains all of it, and it has the pictures, moving pictures, underground facility moving pictures. It explains the levitation trains that they have inside. I have up on my website, I think it's up now, the list of all 103 locations of all of the facilities. I have the pictures inside the facilities. We have all of that in there. It's a 4-hour DVD. It's $24.95, as long as I'm able to still get the thing out. I've got plenty on hand. But I will say this. I did the Coast to Coast George Norrie program last week, and we had over 1,800 hits in one day and a half. It actually shut me down for a little bit on my site. It was unbelievable. We had a hit every 2 minutes for 24 hours. So all I can tell you is everything is there. Everything's on the DVD. If you're interested in it all, I beg you to get it so that you will be ahead of the loop. And I don't know what else I can say. When I finally came to the conclusion that there was no other answer other than the fact that this thing is coming back in, we will never be told. Here's what's going to happen now. This is the rest of it. And I, by the way, on my DVD, which I completed 6 months ago, maybe, in terms of finally putting it into production, I point out that what is going to have to be used by the people in government is a false flag of some type of a national emergency. They have to have the national emergency in hand, in place in the United States of America, without telling people about Nibiru coming in. And I put in there, I predicted this because it was an analogy. It's not some kind of a psychic prediction. This is logical prediction of an investigator for 30 years. They will have to use some major event like a thing called Ebola to do the national emergency, or a terrorist event from a group called ISIS to do the national emergency.
I think they're going to do both.
Or a war breaking out with Russia pushing itself too far, or something else with the Red Chinese. Now, that tape, that DVD that I completed now, was done a while back before I was proven to be right on the fact that Ebola is on its way to being a national emergency. Now, once they do that national emergency, then it's in place. Whether they ever say anything about the planet X, Nibiru, coming back or not, it's not going to make a difference, because by the time people find out about it, it'll already be under martial law in the United States of America. The Constitution is automatically suspended. That paperwork's been signed by, actually been signed by every president for the last 7 or 8 or 10, as far as that's concerned. But Obama signed the update on it several months ago with the ability to do that. Suspend the Constitution, national emergency for whatever reason. It will not be Nibiru, because he cannot tell the people. It's one thing to tell people they can't go out of their house because of a germ, as opposed to saying we got martial law because the globe is going to be bombarded with meteorites and flooded across every single coastline on the globe. You will never hear them announce that until it's too late. Period. You will see it. You will be able to go out and see it in your backyard before they ever announce it. But it's going to be, we will be in martial law before that time. And of course, I knew nothing 6 months ago finishing up this DVD. I knew what it was going to be, but I did not know that it was going to end up being Ebola. And it looks like that damn well might be what they use.
Yeah, you know, and I've been saying this too, that this, I've got good friends who have done great work on this, Dr. Horowitz being one of them, with Ebola.
Sure.
And it is, it's a bioweapon, and it's going to be used, it is being used, for one, for still fear in people, and for another, will be for forced vaccinations. Which God knows what the last.
Yeah. But it's gone way beyond that. See, if you didn't know, if you knew nothing at all about the potential of the Nibiru problem, if you didn't know anything about that, see, then you would be, you'd be watching, say, well, this might be a phony thing. You know, I believe the AIDS, the same as Dr. Horowitz, I believe the AIDS, as a matter of fact, I found the congressional record where the scientists requested the funding of $10 million to create AIDS on the floor of the Congress. I've got that. I came out with that 15 years ago, 17 years ago. You know,
there's
no question in my mind that the AIDS thing was synthetic and was created and introduced into the homosexual community. And then went from there.
And they created cancer viruses as well. They were looking for a vaccine for cancers, and they wound up stumbling upon a virus that they could actually inject in people.
Sure. And see, now this is, see, here we get back to the same question. So if you can question, you can say, well, gee, you know, I'm not sure about this Planet X, and we don't know about the pictures, and they could be real or they could be phony, and when it's really vivid to everybody, then obviously it's too late. You can put that same question always back, even on what we were just talking about. You can, I found the paperwork where the guy actually asked for the money to do it, to create a weapon that would be a non-curable immunizational defect, and that they could come up with it and nothing would be able to stop it. That was the AIDS virus. Now, I can't beyond that, I don't have any motion pictures. I don't have the confessions of the guy that did it. We don't have, we're never going to get the confessions of how they introduced it through the World Health Organization or any of that. You know, that's, see, that's the same question you can ask today about Nibiru. All I've done is put all the facts together. And then again, if somebody can show me a good reason for all the rest of that stuff that's out there, and then convince me that it's not because there's a galactic surprise coming in from left field, you know, I would love to have somebody prove that to be wrong, but they can't do it. Nobody can make sense out of 103 facilities buying all, you know, a couple of years ago when people were trying to buy it, when wholesalers were trying to get the dry foods for survivalists, they couldn't get their orders filled because the government for 2 years was buying 95% of everything was produced. What's wrong with that picture, folks?
Oh,
where do you think they're
the
going
ammo.
With it?
Look at all the ammo all the ammo they purchased also.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Why are they doing that? See? Why are they doing it? I'm going to tell you why they're doing it. I'm going to do it because when the stuff hits the fan, they're going to have to shoot American citizens in the street that are going to be going crazy rioting because they need food and water and every other thing to try to protect themselves. And the government, they're going to be gone, sports fans. And if you even get a notice, if you get a My Dear Fellow American speech from the president relative to this, which I don't think you're ever going to see it. I don't think they're ever going to come out and say, uh-oh, sorry about that, surprise, there's a thing coming in next month. That's not going to happen. And if it does, when you see that, those guys are all going to be vanished underground already, and it's going to be a pre-recorded disc punched up into some kind of a system. But you got to remember this also. All of the networks, all communications, all electronics, all of that is going to be gone at some point in time as this thing comes in closer. And once that happens and the electronics and the satellites are all fried, all the generators are fried, and all of that's gone, then there's not going to be any communication. You won't know if your neighbor's still alive, and that's the way it's going to be. We don't realize how unbelievably dependent we are. You know, it took down in New Orleans, it took, I think it was 4 hours once they started rioting. Everything in every grocery store when they had that bad hurricane down there was gone from the shelves in 4 hours. And they started shooting people in about 2 days once they realized how bad that hurricane was down there and the power was out and the police couldn't even communicate. They were shooting people in the streets.
I see. And we've got a call, Bob. 208 area code. You're on Late Night in the Midlands. First name and where you're calling from, please.
Hey, Michael. It's Andrew.
Yeah,
I'm actually in the Midwest right now. The phone number.
Yeah, goodbye to you. Sorry about that. Not falling for it, buddy. And we just lost our guest. Isn't that amazing? When Eugene Sonny Irving, the troll, the CIA boy toy, calls into the show, and I lose my guest. How about that, Bob? Is that you?
No, it's Andrew again.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Well, okay, folks. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to get my guest back on the line here. Hold on a second. Well, I'm trying to avoid going to a break, so you'll have to bear with me. That was kind of strange. I don't know what was going on there, but I recognized the number that was calling in, and then all of a sudden my guest dropped off. Let's see. All right, folks, 1 second here. I'm dialing it up. I don't have a screener. I do things on my own. Hello, Bob.
Yep, you're back on.
Yeah, we lost you. I had a call was coming in, then we had another call coming in. I recognized the number to one of them, and not a nice person.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's neither here nor there. We lost somebody maybe we didn't need.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a good question? Is there a question that you can repeat, or where are we at?
Well, no, you were explaining. We were talking about the underground facilities and all the things that they're doing. And, you know, good luck to anybody explaining why they're doing these things outside
That the problem is, again, and by the way, for those people that, I mention this only because I'm not necessarily a follower of this, but it was something that came across my desk and I realized how amazing it was. But, you know, Nostradamus, in his predictions of different things, there's some people, strong believers in that stuff, some people don't believe in it at all. If you only had that to depend on, I wouldn't want to even talk to anybody about it. But Nostradamus talks about this in several of his predictions. Also, there's, are you familiar with the English, I don't know what she was for exactly, I guess you just call her maybe a psychic, I'm not sure, but Mother Shipton, are you familiar with Mother Shipton from the England in the 1400s?
Is this the one that had some secrets from the church?
Mother Shipton had visions, okay. You know, psychic visions, whatever you want to call it, the same as Nostradamus. But she was the same as Nostradamus, extraordinarily right on. She was in the late 1400s, early 1500s. She died in 1550, but she was English, so it was not where you had to try to decipher old Latin or English, Italian, or any of the other ancient languages, so to speak. She did it regular old English like she was from New York City, and she talks about it exactly right on. And not only that, but she predicted ships, submarines, the computer system, the internet, the automobile, all of those things. And so she obviously was amazingly right on, but she described the incoming of this this planet coming by with a huge tail and creating all the floods and meteors and all the rest of that, everything exactly the same as in the Bible. And of course the Bible describes it. They call it in the Bible, they call it the wormwood. And again, I mentioned the Chinese, they talked about it as a visiting planet and the dragon with the long tail, and they complete descriptions of all of it. And again, the point that's interesting or bothering right now is the fact that the Earth is already being affected. The glaciers are all receding already. The water's going up already around the coastline. I'm going to tell you something that's under everybody's nose, and a lot of people are missing it. A few months ago in Miami, Florida, they spent millions and millions of dollars installing pumps because the high tide in Miami now goes in as far as six blocks into the city of Miami Beach. So wow. What has happened there is the tides at the coastline in Miami, Florida are already affected to the extent that they had to put millions of dollars worth of special pumping systems to pump the water every day when they have high tides to keep it out of the city of Miami Beach. A lot of people don't know it. It's right there. Find out about it. I happen to have a son that still lives in Miami, and that's a fact, period. Again, that's something you can look up. The glaciers are melting like crazy. That increases the water line on the entire globe. The volcanoes I was talking about, 35, 45 of them right today are erupting. earthquakes that are happening all over the place. The crazy weather, just in general, the crazy weather is destroying America. We still have, you know, we have a drought. We have a drought in California, the worst that they've had since the Dust Bowl.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's no bit, it's been a year. They got places that haven't had rain of any measurable amount in a year in the California area. So, all of these things are, in my opinion, a long-distance effect of the Planet X and Nibiru. And I've come up with something also that I refer to as the bowling ball effect with this planet. And what it is, when it comes back in, which it has started to do, obviously, when it comes back, it's not only does it have its five moons and its own itself and its five moons, and then all that junk that's pulling behind it in some serious manner, as it comes back, its gravitational force field and the physical effects of smashing through existing groups of meteors and asteroids and all of those things that normally are just floating around out there not bothering anybody. It's like a bowling ball effect going into the pins. And this is striking through all of this stuff, and the numbers would obviously be trillions and multi-billions, and it's hitting this stuff and pushing it with its own gravitational effect and going through it and knocking it off in all these multitude of directions. That is why we have this increase in meteors and asteroids and shooting stars. And what everybody remembers was it 2 years ago now, maybe even more, when the Russians, we were watching a comet or an asteroid that was supposed to be coming around, and they were aware of it. We watched it. It was supposed to fly by Russia, and it flew by Russia, but then all of a sudden there was a big asteroid that came down that nobody saw. You see, when people say if this Nibiru was out there, we would see it, you're not going to see it if it's coming up from behind the sun out there in space. From our perspective, the angle and direction that you may be trying to view it, depending on where you are, on what time of the day, and all of that, if it comes from behind the sun, we cannot see it. And that's exactly what the answer was when everybody in the world said, how come we didn't see that? If that thing had hit more directly, it would have been like 100 atomic bombs. It's not a joke, it's serious. If it had come down and had not burned up and blew up just before it actually hit ground, it was only a small piece, small amounts of it hit the ground. If it had come in on a more direct perpendicular angle, it would have been the equivalent of 100 million atomic bombs.
True, but that's a comet. Big difference compared to the size of that planet.
That's right. The comet is like a flea compared to this planet. Yeah. The comet is like an automobile. The size of that thing was like, when it first entered in, was probably the size of a bus. And this planet that we're talking, of course, it's not supposed to hit Earth. Don't mistake what I'm saying. But that planet, the planet coming around Nibiru, is five times the size of Earth. It's horrendous. If in fact it's what it is, that's how big they've calculated it. And like I said, if it comes through at a fairly close to our own ecliptic circle of orbital planets, we will pass through it. It will take, the calculations on it actually is down to about just a little less than 1 hour, real close to 1 hour, passing through the meteor storm. 50 to 60 minutes of a meteor storm. And that meteor storm will have meteors in it that are going to make that Russian thing look like a dirt ball.
Well, Bob, we're getting down to the last few minutes here, and I want to give you an opportunity to get out anything you want, any appearances you have coming up, whatever. It's okay. Go ahead and do that, and I'm going to keep you linked up on latenightinthemidlands.com, and maybe not too far down the line I could get you back, and we could do this again and talk further on
And at any time, we may have more information, but be aware of the possibility of them calling a national emergency. And if they're calling a national emergency before December, I'm going to start making sure that I don't know what I'm going to make sure. I'm going to do what the guy, the head of NASA, said when they asked him, what do we do when we find out something like this is coming in? And he said, pray.
Yeah.
And that was the response of the head of NASA on the floor of the Congress. I want people to go to Bob Fletcher Investigations.com and order up the DVD. Get it for yourself. 4 hours. It's an entire library of information. And then I hope I'm wrong. I hope I am the biggest jerk that you have ever had on your program. In two years, you can have me back and let me know.
Well, yeah, I'll go with wrong, but jerk, no, because you're not telling people you better believe this. You're simply putting the information out there, and it's up to people if they want to go after it or not.
I just personally feel, number one, I don't like them lying to us and stealing our money, and that's what they've done. And if they're lying to us and stealing our money to save their own tails on something that's as earth-shaking as this event, biblical in event, if they've been doing that, that really makes me mad, and I'm positive that's what they're doing. You need to know about it. I can't give you instructions on what to do other than take a good yoga class so you can kiss your own butt goodbye when it hits the fan.
And there you go. Well, Bob, thank you so much for being a guest tonight. You have given us plenty to look into, and I appreciate it. And again, any updates, just email me, and I'd love to have
you
on anytime.
I will let you know. God bless you all, and you take care.
All right. Thank you. You too, my friend.
Good night, sir.
All right, everybody. Bob Fletcher, we've got him linked up on the homepage of latenightinthemidlands.com. I'd like to have him back again. I'm going to look into some of these things. You know, I've done a lot of research on Planet X. I'm not going to say Nibiru. I think that's a whole other ball game. But I have done plenty of research on Planet X. And, you know, I'm kind of middle of the ballpark on it. I believe it's out there somewhere. I just don't know where, and I don't know when. And I feel like if something that big was coming close, I don't care where it was coming in from, you're going to eventually see the sunlight reflect off it. And so, you know, but then there are good points like the Google being blocked out, a section of space. I mean, I'm not going to say that it's total nonsense because it's not. But I am going to say I want to know exact, because, you know, if I know for sure it's coming in a year and a half, hell, I'll go buy a pack of cigarettes and get back to smoking and eat all the worst foods I could find, because who the hell wants to live out of something like that? I don't. With that, folks, I'm going to say good night. We'll be back with you tomorrow night. This has been a broadcast of Late Night in the Midlands on the L&M Radio Network. Keep your eyes posted to the sky, because you never know what you might see. And keep your ears posted to this broadcast, because you never know what you might learn. Good night, everybody.